Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Liberation Day. It's going to be 3 o'clock. The tariffs are going to be announced, Jeffrey. We will be liberated from lower prices. At that point here on Liberation Day, the entire cabinet has been ordered to be assembled as one would in an authoritarian country. Just get everybody there to unveil the tariffs that are going to, liberate us. So there you go. Big day in America. Also a big day. You know, it was Larry Finch died on this very day back in 2011.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Larry Finch died. So we have a lot to talk about today, apart from any of that. In fact, I don't think we're going to – I think, you know, it's not Fish on Friday on Tuesday day, so we're going to pretty much, as we like to do here, stick to sports on this Wednesday. It's a little bit of a different lineup because John Martin is flying to San Antonio. I don't think he's going to the Final Four, but he's going down there to do some shows on Field of 68 and stuff from the Final Four. So John isn't going to be with us. I think the perfect replacement, upgrade, I'll call it an upgrade, the perfect upgrade on this day, Jeffrey, when we are coping in the world of sports anyway with so much that is sad, particularly with respect to the Memphis Grizzlies, who we will get to in a moment. Jarvis Greer is going to join us. Jarvis Greer is going to join us. How about that? I mean, if you need to feel better about yourself, who better to talk to than Jarvis Greer?
In this fair city, Jeff, there's literally no one.
There is literally. Is there anyone?
No.
No one?
No one. None.
Like, there are other people who, like, just thinking of them bring a smile to your face, right? Like Dave Brown. Dave Brown, of course,
sure.
He's retired now, but he'd have to tell you when the weather was bad or
correct.
The weather was good. He wouldn't tell you the weather. He wouldn't explain to you the upside of bad weather necessarily. Whereas Jarvis, you can count on it.
You
can count on Jarvis to make us feel better. And so Jarvis Greer is going to join us. I mean, I thought about taking phone calls, but I'm afraid too many of you might be dour. Might be dour, might be down. Might not lift my spirits, where Jarvis will. And so, you know what? Jarvis is going to tell me the good news about the Memphis Tigers reducing capacity in FedEx Forum, don't you think?
Absolutely.
He's going to tell me the good news about the Tigers holding the line on football season ticket prices. Like, Jarvis is going to be here in the next segment, and you're going to be wanting to be tuned in because he is going to make you feel better. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock as ever. And then Sam Hardiman, who has a colossal piece up at the Daily Memphian, a deep dive, part of a series that he's doing on Elon Musk and XAI and the controversies and opportunities everything that represents, the good, the bad, the ugly. It is a deep dive. I didn't know, for example, here's a detail that I just almost found astonishing. In the Chamber of Commerce, that's the word. I'm getting commerce and conference confused. The Chamber of Commerce conference room, according to this story, bears the XAI logo. Now, I wondered, if does that mean that it has a bunch of logos that they do of companies they do business with or whatever? Or does literally the conference room at the Chamber of Commerce, like it's the XAI conference room?
I do not know the answer to this, but yeah. I bet Sam does.
And of course, this part was always fun. When Sam first inquired as to what they were doing with this property, the former Electrolux factory, he was told it's going to be a dog food factory. A dog food factory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is not. There's a lot of big ass computers over there. And so we'll talk to Sam.
It's like when they were buying up the land for Disney World in Florida, where you had like 35 different companies and they were all like lying to each other. So right. Because obviously they didn't want it to know.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about all of that. That's the lineup. The Jarvis Greer, Chris Harrington, and then Sam Hardiman. So I got to tell you, first of all, I got to tell you that I've now covered two Grizzlies game, two of the last three. I don't do this as much anymore. And it's a good thing because it just takes it out of you. It used to be in the world of newspapers and I that there were deadlines because there were these giant ass presses, right? And at some point they had to push the button and the presses would have to roll because they'd put the story in these giant ass presses and then the trucks would send them out to the many delivery people, and then the many delivery people would head out, and it would be on your driveway in the morning. And so at around whatever, typically it used to be 11:30. It got to be worse at the end, but at one point, sort of for the bulk of my time at the CA, certainly, it was 11:30. So you could count on filing. You had to file your column 11:30. There was no choice. It was the old.
It was done.
The thing was running. Like, you, if you were either in it or out of it, you're not in it. So you were done at 11:30. You'd be home by midnight. Now, the way it works, I mean, the Daily Memphian is a digital site. And honestly, as far as the CA goes, they don't care about getting last night's news. They don't hold the paper for last night's news either. They give it to you a day or two later in the actual paper. And so so you can write as late as you want. And the Grizzlies take, I don't know, what time did that game end? 9:30-ish?
Yeah, I want to say around 9:25.
By the time
I can tell you exactly.
Done talking to Desmond Bain, who was the last player to talk.
9:31.
It was nearly 11 o'clock. It was certainly 10:45.
Yep.
So I didn't even start writing by the time I normally would have had my column in. And so then whatever, you've...
It was also an unusual, like, that's not a typical regular season game because obviously that was an emotional whatnot. Like, right. That's going to be a game where the locker room is going to take longer.
Yeah, although there's no great hurry. Ja, honestly, like, did after bolting without talking after the Celtics game, blew off everybody. He got out of there intentionally before he had to talk about anything. Last night he was the first one of the first ones to talk. So I'll tell you about what everybody said in the locker room, but because of that, you know, I filed at 1-ish, got home at 1:30. So I may not be at the top of my game today. Cause it takes it out of you. But anyway, I'll also tell you this. When you go in to write a column about these games, sometimes you think about what you might write in advance. You certainly don't stick to it. In fact, young reporters will sometimes say to me, "So what do you think? What would you write? What would you write?" And I'd say, "Well, what's going to happen?" And then I'll tell you what I would write. Like you can't really start writing or formulate a column until you actually see the stuff unfold in front of you. Did I know that Steph was going to go for freaking 52? I did not. He went for 2 the last time they played in Memphis. So, but I did have some thoughts in mind that if they lost in ignominious fashion, their third straight home game, given everything that has happened, I pondered thinking, you know, maybe I'll start the column hammer nail coffin.
Yep.
You know, just on the, like, to borrow from the great Pete Pranica, hammer nail coffin. This baby is over. And I thought of all kinds of different ways that I could illustrate the misery that this Memphis Grizzlies season has become. Because there's all sorts of ways that you can illustrate it and dive into it. They have now obviously lost all three games since Taylor Jenkins was fired and Tomas Isalo was hired. They have fallen from second in the West, to tied for sixth and seventh, really, with Minnesota. They are a half game up on the Clippers. The Clippers play the Pelicans tonight. If they win, and why wouldn't they?
You like their chances?
The Grizzlies will be in the play-in territory. The Grizzlies will have been bumped down to seventh. They no longer even control their own destiny in terms of finishing in the top six and avoiding the play-in. At the trade deadline, the Grizzlies were 10th and the second, and the Warriors were 10th. Second and 10th. The Grizzlies have gone 9-16 since then. The Warriors have gone 19-6. The Grizzlies got blown out again in the first quarter. They gave up a million three-pointers once again. Okay, it was 22.
Yeah, it felt like a million.
This after 21 to the Celtics and 19 to the Lakers? Like, you sensing a theme here, Jeffrey?
I am, Jeff.
It. Antonio Braxton is a well-known Memphis fan because he has this massive collection of jerseys. And he texted me yesterday. He's decided last night to break out, he and his son wore the Hashim Thabeet and Darko Milicic jerseys.
Yeah.
Which is the Grizzlies equivalent
of the Aints bags.
Of bags over your head, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree.
You've got national podcasts. You got ESPN doing a deep dive on everything that went wrong. You got national podcasts speculating about whether Ja's going to ask for a trade or whether the Grizzlies are going to be motivated to trade him. Like, there is every reason to pile on the Grizzlies, because it is pretty astounding. And indeed, the comparison you can make is to the Memphis Tigers 2 years ago. Now, it's not a perfect comparison, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But in terms of something that seemed great turning into crap, it feels like I've been through this before.
Yeah.
Had high hopes. What the hell? How did this happen? So all of that is going through my mind, and I'm thinking about all of those things as I'm heading down to FedEx Forum, as I'm beginning to process the game. But then the game happened. And all of those things are still true, like still to be grappled with, not at all saying otherwise. But then the game happened, and it's not the way the game played out. It's not just that I didn't have the heart to pile on the Grizzlies. I honestly didn't think it was an accurate portrayal of what happened last night, because the game that we watched last night was a game that could be put alongside any of the epic Memphis Golden State games of the past however many years as a mesmerizing, competitive, almost feel privileged to be in the building watching it kind of contest. It was unbelievable. It was certainly playoff intensity, intensity. And here's what it took for the Warriors to win. It took Jimmy Butler going for 27. It took the Warriors going 28 out of 28 from the line. And it took Steph going on an all-timer, man. 52 points. You wanna hate him? He is so unbelievable at that one thing he does. I don't even, there's some three-pointers where it doesn't even feel like it barely touches his hands. There was one pass in the corner where he got it and he kind of fumbled it and he just barely, it almost feels like he wills the damn, it's unbelievable. There's another one where Zach Edey is coming out and he's got to completely change the trajectory of his three-pointer.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an all-timer from an all-timer. And they needed all of that to beat the Grizzlies. And so, listen, there are Sacramento game, Portland game. We can go through all the half-assed efforts, the performances that
Hawks,
were not worthy of the Grizzlies. The times you felt like they were either mailing it in or had their heads so far up their asses that you couldn't tell the difference. But last night was not one of those nights. Last night, they absolutely flawed. Yes, 100% they're flawed. But they absolutely emptied their buckets. They just did. And our man Tuomas, I think Tuomas is right. Tuomas, I think the Tuomas I got, the E slow.
You think he's right saying his own name?
No one's going to do, no, but I think my Tuomas is right. No one is going to do the extended E slow. We're just not E slow. We're just going to go with E slow. Can we agree with that?
I'm fine with that.
So you get Tuomas. You can sense they are hurting. Everybody is hurting in that locker room. It hurts when you really put yourself out in life and you come up a little bit short. That's life. That's sports. I don't think it's something you need to run from. Also said, the message to me is very clear. With this type of effort and intensity and togetherness, we can achieve a lot. And that was... So then the danger is, moral freaking victory, really? You know, moral victory? That's where we are? This is, how many years of this iteration of the Grizzlies? This is, you could be talking about
25.
Moral victories.
I think of this group,
Ja, Jaren, Dez, you know.
Six.
Like, we're 5 years ago, talk to me about moral victories. This shouldn't be about moral victories. And yet, when I watched the intensity they played with after the first quarter. Because the first quarter, you and I were texting. This was dreadful.
Yeah. It was god-awful watch.
It was god-awful. And then it completely transformed.
Jaren came back on the floor.
Completely transformed. Well, in the end, it is absolutely true that if you want to boil why they lost down to one thing, it was Jaren's foul trouble.
Yeah.
So they're
I think of the things the Grizzlies could have controlled.
Yeah. Yes. And they could have controlled, you know, it's an argument. Could they have controlled Steph not getting on that heater?
I mean, they could have doubled him. They could have done other things.
They could have done him.
That's not how they usually play him. And last night was how they typically have played him.
That's the thing. They've actually done well against
him. They've done a decent job, yeah. Because you were at the game, you weren't there. Rob on his parlay took Steph under points.
Oh.
But at least,
there's a reason.
Yeah. The Grizzlies have done a good job.
They've done a good job. So the Grizzlies outscored the Warriors by 13 when Jaren was on the floor. By 13 when Jaren was on the floor. Like, I was going to say, best player on the floor. He wasn't the best player on the floor because I was watching. I was watching that, what that guy Steph was doing.
Yeah, no.
He was the best guy on the floor. Ja was sensational, too.
Yeah.
But Jaren, when he was playing, they outscored him by 13. And some of the fouls were just so stupid. And it, the problem is that what happens now is that people, this is like it is when, in anyone, this is why reputations are hard to get rid of, right? Like, it's, we talk about this with college football coaches.
Yep.
You can, if you build a reputation as a loser, right? And then you can have a couple winning seasons. But as soon as you start losing again and again, there he is. That's the guy we hate, right? And it's a little bit like with the Jaren fouls. He's actually done much better. But this happens. Like, ah, that's Jaren. That's what he does. Well, here, listen to this. When he went out, so he picks up two fouls in the first 3 minutes and 20 seconds. The Grizzlies are winning at that point. And then he sits the rest of the quarter, and they're outscored 35-21 the rest of the quarter. So, boom, all of a sudden, now you're fighting uphill the whole rest of the game. And they did. And they fought uphill admirably, ferociously, fiercely. They took the lead. There were 14 lead changes. There were 11 ties. It was epic. It was back and forth. And with 1:55 left, the Grizzlies led by a single point. That's when Jaren fouled out. And then they're outscored 11-3 the rest of the way. Like there it is. The first quarter and the end of the game, Jaren's not there. Boom.
Thus the case for Jaren is the defensive player of the year.
Thus what?
Thus is the case for Jaren as the defensive player of the year. The Grizzlies absolutely
suck.
Without him.
They are a pathetic defensive
team. They cannot stop me or you.
They can't stop anyone. It's pathetic. That team defensively. Like, they used to have other guys who could guard.
They let him walk.
Now they don't. And Vince Williams didn't play. Like, he was out last night. But
I've given up on Vince being a difference maker this year.
But they're just atrocious defensively without Jaren. I take it you didn't take kindly to Draymond's condescending.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
comments
it's
about Jaren. I'm disappointed in Jaren, said Draymond Green. You know, I got a love for him because that's my dog. He's too good to be getting in foul trouble. It's time for him to take that next step in that department because it was huge for us when we went out of the game.
I mean, the last part's true.
It is all true. It's weird talking about next steps. Like, when has he gotten control of himself?
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Like pot meet kettle.
And it's just so damn condescending. It's just so damn condescending. Like, one of the things I enjoyed was watching Draymond shoot last night.
Yes.
That's so much fun.
That three from the top of the key.
So much fun watching Draymond
shoot. It almost got there.
But, so here we are. Jeffrey, would you please, I have been the doomsayer. I'm like, in terms of this stuff, I'm the opposite of Jarvis. Some people see the silver lining. I just see the black cloud.
Yeah.
So I've been telling.
You're the Eurythmics. Here comes the rain again.
I've been telling people for weeks now. The Grizzlies.
It might even be months at this point.
I think it was shortly after the trade deadline that the Grizzlies were going to be in the play-in. And you keep consulting the odds, and the odds were holding up for the longest time. I'm going to even suggest now that your odds have turned and no longer favor, it is no more, according to your odds, more likely than not, that the Grizzlies avoid the play-in.
You are correct. The Memphis Grizzlies now currently have a 39.9% chance of avoiding the play-in.
Didn't help that Russell Westbrook
lost his mind, lost
the game. Ruined the effort of Jokic, who went for 61, 11, and 10. But in a double overtime game, Minnesota and Denver could have put it away, but Russ misses a layup and then commits the foul. And
nice little twofer there.
Minnesota wins. So once again, the standings. The Grizzlies are now 2.5 games behind the Lakers. Can we admit that ship has sailed? They will not have, have home court advantage in the playoffs.
Yes.
Lakers are fourth. They are a half game behind Golden State. They are tied with Minnesota, over whom they have the tiebreaker.
But they still have a game remaining.
And they are a half game ahead of the Clippers, and the Clippers, honestly, should move ahead of them tonight. So by the time tonight strikes midnight, it is likely that the Grizzlies will be in the play-in tied 7th and 8th with Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they will be half a game then behind the Clippers with 6 games to play.
I'm a little unclear of how the three-way tie would work because I think the Timberwolves
I've always been unclear about how.
So I think the Timberwolves, even though the Grizzlies have the head-to-head against the Timberwolves in a three-way tie, I don't think it applies. What I think would actually happen is it goes to Western Conference wins, and at that point the Timberwolves would be 6th, the Grizzlies would probably be 7th, and the Clippers would be 8th.
So the question is there, well, here's the rest of the schedule. So here's the schedule.
Yep.
Thursday at Miami, Saturday at Detroit, Tuesday at Charlotte. They're on the road. They're not going to have, not now at least when the people will be cheering for the other team, at least they'll be in the other building, as opposed to the last three nights when the people cheering for the other team loudly were in your own building. So you got Miami, Detroit, and Charlotte on the road. Then you're back here for a massive game, or what could be, if you do what you're supposed to, a massive game against Minnesota Thursday. Then at Denver, you never know what Denver will or won't have at stake at that point, right?
Yeah, because they're only a half game in front of the Lakers.
It feels like it'll matter to Denver.
I actually think most people are. I think those two would prefer to be the three, because if you're going to be the three, you'd rather be matched up with Houston.
And it's not the last game, so it'll likely be meaningful.
Yeah.
It'll likely be meaningful. So then at Denver and then Dallas. I think the Grizzlies, and here, again, I've been the doomsayer all along. I'm the one who was telling you that when I offered you a 1-2 record over the homestand, you should have taken it. And I offered it to Chris, and he should have taken it. But now what I'm telling you is the Grizzlies have to and should go 5-1. And if they can go 5-1, I don't rule out, I haven't broken down the Golden State schedule or whatever else, but if they can go 5-1, I think they can avoid the play-in.
If they go 5-1, I think they're going
to
avoid.
They will avoid the play-in. Why the hell can't they go 5-1? Who the hell can't they be? Like, I'm building in a loss to Denver. Who the rest of that team is world beaters?
I don't know if they're going to sweep the Timberwolves.
But they don't have to sweep the Timberwolves. They just have to beat them once.
Yeah, but that would be a season sweep.
I know, but those games don't matter in terms of what's going to happen. They just have to beat them once. They just have to beat the Timberwolves.
Yeah, but they just had to beat the Warriors once.
Yes. I don't listen. I don't think it's likely they're 5-1. Even if they play pretty well, I think 4-2 is more likely, right? Because you got a tough game at Detroit. And you got
when you read the
home.
Schedule, my first thought was 4-2.
And does 4-2 avoid the play-in? I don't think so. I think 4-2 probably gets you. We don't have to break down everybody's schedule. It's all three schedules. It's Clippers,
correct,
and Timberwolves and Warriors, and we don't need to deep dive there. Okay, let me ask you another thing. Is there good stuff to be taken from last night? Is there any way they can look at what happened last night as they go on the road and say, you know what, we can do this.
Ja looked really good.
I thought there were a bunch of things. Ja looked as back-to-back. He played all three games, last two back-to-back. He was engaged.
Athletic.
He was electric.
Yeah.
He also hit three-pointers.
Yeah, but I'm setting
but no,
aside.
No, just generally speaking.
I for me right now, with Ja, it's eye test.
100%. Ja looked really good.
Yeah.
Here's another good thing. Zach Edey looked really good.
Not the first quarter, but I agree.
But after that, in fact, you can argue that when they took him out at the end of the game, that's when another reason when trouble started to unfold. So
I said last night on X that I'm talking myself into the thought of Zach Edey looks like he did his sophomore year at Purdue, where there's bad stuff to look at, and there's things.
One of the mystifying things with me with Zach Edey is, again, it was a really very good and heartening season high in minutes, 16 rebounds, career high in 16 rebounds, four blocks. Like,
impactful in the game.
Like, which, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And set some absolutely brick wall picks.
Yes.
Like, that was great. What it mystifies me about him is so many times he gets the ball in the post and he'll miss a freaking, like,
the layup.
Why the hell can't I
just dunk it?
He's just dunk the damn thing. Like, it feels like that is that. I'm not sure. I think he'll get better as a defender on the pick and roll. There will always be limitations because of his mobility. But as he gets craftier, I think he'll get better. What I actually think is that he looks tentative when he gets the ball in the post. And as the years go by, I would think he would grow in confidence and would become dominant in that situation. And he just is not now.
Yeah,
now
he doesn't go to the rim strongly.
No, it's kind of odd, like, because he is such a beast. But anyway, really really encouraging performance from Zach Edey, an encouraging performance from Ja Morant. And this feels like the Penny Hardaway lesson. They played eight guys.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
Like, they played their dudes. You know, they technically played nine guys because Bagley got a couple of minutes.
I knew what you meant.
They played eight guys.
Bagley's minutes were dictated by foul trouble.
100%. I mean, they if that, and it is interesting. The other thing that's really interesting, I don't know what they're going to do with Tuomas Iisalo, but I think that was pretty good. But
you find yourself agreeing with yourself?
I find myself agreeing with myself. No, I'm fine. I think I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. It's like what are the language apps? You know?
Yeah, Babbel.
Yes, yeah, like Babbel. Yeah, whatever.
Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone, exactly. Hmm. He is so incredibly composed and calm. Like, you would think that he would be losing his mind here, a little bit like looking like a guy who's in over his head. He was finished, for God's sakes. He only joined the NBA. It's not like he's a guy who's been, like, you would imagine a coach, an assistant who's been coaching three-year assistant, but he's been in the NBA, tossed into the situation, might look a little deer in the headlights, right?
Sure.
This guy literally just joined the NBA. In progress, having learned about it from Slam Magazine, basically, growing up, which he's talked about. And he couldn't be more chill, more composed, more relaxed, more comfortable, however you want to put it. One reason for this, he says, is that, listen, when I was in Europe, twice I coached teams that were facing relegation.
Yeah.
Relegation, of course, is that in Europe leagues, the crappiest team, you don't just go into the play-in or miss the playoffs or be in the lottery. They send you down to a different league.
Yeah, and it's devastating.
It's brutal.
Because you
don't have the
money.
Kind of a budget.
Yep.
You don't have the people lose their jobs. Yep. Like, it is a disaster.
Yep.
He said twice he coached teams facing relegation. So maybe he made two soccer or European comparisons. Another was to a great Italian soccer player who never had great defensive numbers, never a lot of tackles, but there was that's because he could anticipate trouble before he averted the stuff beforehand. And I don't know who he was talking about. Draymond Green, actually, that he was analogizing him. But anyway, he's totally relaxed. And bad news for those of you who don't want him to be the head coach again. I don't know what's going to happen. But when I asked Jaron, you know, was there anything good to take out of this game? He went straight to the head coach. He said, I've been happy about how Thomas has stepped into the role and really made the most of it and just been a great leader. I didn't ask, how's the new coach? I said, so, like, what's good? What can you take from that game? And he went right to the new coach. So it was striking. Jeffy, what are they going to go in the next six?
4-2.
4-2 and playing. That's what your prediction is?
Yes.
Well, we'll talk to we will talk to Jarvis on the other side. Then we'll talk to Chris Harrington. Then we'll talk to Sam Hardiman. It is a busy day. Oh, I will tell you, by the way, it was great yesterday. We had Beale Street Bob call in, and Beale Street Bob called in, and I thought he wanted to talk about the Grizzlies. What he really wanted to talk about was this Peter Millar windbreaker from Oak Hall. This is how great Oak Hall is that we get unsolicited when we open up the phones, talk about anything. You want to talk about the Tush Push? You want to talk about the Grizzlies? You want to talk about season ticket sales over the FedEx Forum? They're reducing. No, Beale Street Bob calls in because he wants to submit a testimonial for his windbreaker that he got from Oak Hall that he's had for 10 years, and it still makes him happy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what a great piece of clothing can do. It can lift your spirits. It can make you feel better about the world. I was in there just 2 days ago. Place is absolutely beautiful. You know the newest thing in polos, Jeffrey?
What's that, Jeff?
Old things are new again. Cotton.
Ah.
Because normally you just see all these performance polos, yeah. Right? All these performance polos that are comfortable as you're moving around. Well, cotton's back, and cotton's big again. And so, I mean, they had beautiful collections from all the, you know, Johnny O and Peter Millar and Cricket. And but I like Beale Street's Bob testimonial because you can buy stuff there, and it will, 10 years later, still be making you happy. This week, go see our friends at Oak Hall. Jarvis Greer joins us on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty city-friendly Trax. Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together. Let's drive.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by the great Jarvis Greer.
Jarvis, of course,
TV legend, but also now over at Grind City Media with Grizzbeat, I'm sorry I was going to be joining you today, Jarvis, but I had a conflict.
Sometimes that's how it works out, you know.
I appreciate the invitation.
You have an open invitation.
Well, I appreciate that. So before I get to the Grizzlies and other matters of sports, you are on the board of an organization called Courage Through Cancer, and they are having a 5K. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. On April 26th, out at Shelby Barnes Park, it's the Gina Hollenbeck Run, and it's a great location. It'll be the run will be around the Hyde Lake and throughout the park, and you know how beautiful Shelby Barnes Park is, especially this time of year. It's a 5K. It's named after Gina Hollenbeck. Gina Hollenbeck was a nurse at Baptist Hospital. And at 38 years old, she was diagnosed with lung cancer. And being a nurse, you know, she was in the prime of life. Beautiful woman, very athletic, and had it was her vocation, I guess, to turn this a negative into a positive, because she championed bionome research and anything that she could get her hands on and tell people about in cancer, because her saying was, if you have lungs, you could get lung cancer. And unfortunately, it finally took her life at 45. And, you know, the world was a sadder place with her passing, because she had championed that cause so much. But Courage Through Cancer took it up, and they have now have a race in her honor. April 26th out at Shelby Farms. It'll start at 9 a.m. Still looking for sponsors to sponsor the race. All kind of great goodies involved. First of all, the website, www.ctcmemphis.org. That's www.ctcmemphis.org. That's for Courage Through Cancer. There'll be all kind of goodies out there. There'll be awards. There'll be food trucks. There'll be all kind of things, drinks. Everything, T-shirts, awards, you know, you'll get a race bib and great things. And we are just, you know, nobody wants to be known for having cancer. Nobody, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, but I it's got interesting. You don't want to be known for it, but you very clearly have ultimately been open about your own cancer journey.
You even did a really good story.
I think I did two stories. You were so good talking about it, honestly, and it was so important to talk about it. You're on the board. What does this organization, Courage Through Cancer, do? And I don't know, having gone through this, are you promoting screening or what? Like, what's your takeaway from your own journey?
Well, it promotes everything. I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, one particular organization or a hospital. You know, of course, they do Baptist, where Gina was a former employee, but also the West Cancer Clinic. Every other entity that has anything to do with cancer research, with kids and anything like that, Courage Through Cancer supports through the money that they get. And it's a great thing. They have a big dinner at the Botanic Gardens where they honor, you know, cancer recipients or
survivors,
cancer patients who are fighting, either going through or in remission. And that's at the Botanic Gardens in the fall, and that's a big fundraiser for the event. And, you know, there and several other things that they do. But, you know, like I said, just go through, go to the website, ctcmemphis.org, Courage Through Cancer, Memphis.org, ctcmemphis.org, and you'll see all of the great things that they do.
All right, April 26th.
It's a wonderful organization.
April 26th.
April 26th, 9 a.m. at Shelby Farms. That is correct.
So I hope I didn't misspeak, but I said that the great thing about having you on today is this is sort of a grim moment for the Memphis Grizzlies. They've lost.
I'm a season ticket holder, Jeff.
The three straight home games, they've fallen. After tonight, if the Clippers beat the Pelicans, they will officially be in the play-in spot. What can you tell me about last night or about the predicament they find themselves in to lift my spirits, Jarvis?
Oh, man. Well, you know, we live downtown and the bridge is right there. And I made myself not look at it coming home from the game last night. But, you know, and all things being equal, if you just took it on a game-by-game basis, that's the best they played in a long time. They just ran into a nuclear Steph Curry. But with the situation where it is, I mean, the season's not going to end. They will be in the playoffs or some version, either the play-in or the playoffs. But this is eerily similar to the Tigers breakdown from a couple of years ago where they just fall off a cliff. And it's like the Grizzlies had been clutch there for a large part with this group, you know, the current big three.
Yeah.
But they just have forgotten how to win. They get in the late game situations, and for some reason it's just not there. They can't find it. Either it's a turnover or a missed shot or a bad defensive assignment. The worst thing that's happened is not so much the offense. The defense has just gone in the crapper, basically. And, you know, we talked about that on Grisby. With Grisby today, 2 p.m., by the way. We'll have Matt Enfield on, who got a really good interview with Jaren Jackson Jr. last night. And I think you were there, too, where he said, you know, he knows, he realizes that he cannot get in foul trouble. He cannot get it. He's got to be on the floor. Because what did you say? They were 13 points better when he was on the floor last night?
13 points better, yeah. And Jaren was like, he threw himself under the bus. He was like, I'm too important. I can't.
And he knows it.
I can't do that.
And you could see when he fouled out late that he laid there on the floor because he knew what that meant to the team.
Foul where he misses the three-pointer. I mean, there was this stretch in the fourth where the Grizzlies, you know, had it, and they had just so many empty possessions. Dez was stripped.
It just went back and forth. Jaren missed stops.
And Steph was out at this point. Yeah, and they were getting stops. And then Jaren misses that three, and then he grabs, I think it was, he just
reached out Post.
Yeah, I think he reached out and he grabs his wrist.
It was either Post or Prozinski.
I think it was Post. So he grabs his freaking wrist, and I'm like, you can't do that.
Man, what are you doing? Come on, Tripp. You can't do that. And it's like, and he knew it. And it's just sometimes that, you know, sometimes you have, well, look at Westbrook last night. Sometimes you have brain farts. and these brain farts at this time of the year can mean you're in the play-in or you're in the playoffs. And fortunately, I know Cuomo Sniffalo said last night there is no relegation
there's
here.
There's no relegation.
But that would really be bad because we're staring it in the face right now if that were the case. But
how are you feeling about the Tigers? Tigers basketball season, Jarvis?
Tiger basketball? I thought it was a great year. And I thought there was a reason that the odds makers had Memphis as the underdog against Colorado State because they didn't have their two-point guard. You didn't have your first-string point guard and you didn't have your second-string point guard, and both of them were not going to play. And you take the head off the snake, you know, that's, you know, the starter that they got from Texas.
Yeah, Hunter. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was there, the one that was knocking down all the shots in Maui when Memphis was beating Michigan State and UConn and going to Virginia and Clemson and winning. And you take 13.8 points, 5.6 assists, a couple of rebounds and a couple of steals out of the lineup, that's gonna hurt. You know, I don't care who you play.
It is amazing how people sort of gloss over that. Ah, it's Penny again. Yeah. Can't go on a deep run. It's
tough. It's tough. But you look back and say, okay, who have they played in the NCAA? Well, you know, that team I thought that was the absolute most talented team was a team that had Precious on it with the kid from, his name escapes me, you know, the guy that they let play point guard because he wanted to play, and that's really the only reason they got him.
He was really Imani?
Yeah, Imani Bates.
Yep.
And that team had the most athletic talent, and they win their first round game, and then they got to go up against, you only get an 8 seed, then they got to go up against number one Gonzaga, against first team All-American Drew Timmy, who basically took the game over down the stretch and won the game for a Gonzaga team that, you know, is used to making deep runs. And then they get, the next year with KD? They lose to an FAU team that had won 33 games going into the playoffs, into the tournament, and make it to the Final Four on a couple of bad calls at the end of the game. So, you know, but it's just like bad luck follows you around. I thought this team played very well and during the season, and they had one or two hiccups, and it's hard to go perfect. But they did. They got a good matchup had they been healthy. And, you know, and it proved, you know, how well that Colorado State played in the next game against a really good Maryland team. And then the same guys that you know, that kid that went 6 of 7 against Memphis from three,
yep,
because they forced the ball out of Nick Clement's hands and made him give it up. He went 1 of 6 against Maryland on the same open looks. And that's, you know, that's how they lost. So.
What do you make of the decision? There was some season ticket news from the Tigers yesterday, both in football, where they're holding the line. There's no increase in prices, although they're both in football and basketball across the board. They're going to have people now have to shoulder the sales tax, which is 9.75%. So that's a little bit of a hit for, but they're not raising the prices on Memphis football. And then with Memphis basketball, and it seemed to me to make all the sense in the world, they are going to tarp off parts of the terrace level to make the bring the capacity from 18,000 plus to 14,000 plus. Your thoughts?
Well, there'll always be belly aching anytime somebody get moved or the price goes up. There will always be that. But some of these moves are, okay, is this survival or is this, no, this is more than survival. We want to compete. The Tigers want to be able to compete in today's landscape. As far as doing the sales tax, they've eaten the sales tax up to this point, but now they're going to pass it on to the ticket buyers. As far as the basketball is concerned, it just makes sense. I mean, you don't have the seats. People aren't buying them unless it's big game. It's not like they're taking them out and you can never get them. If the ticket demand is there, they can take the curtains down and you'll be up there. It's like they used to do the, you know, put those big placards in the end zone at the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, block off the end zone seats. And then when there was a big game, they took them down and you could, you know, you could buy seats there. It's the same thing. So, you know, what Duke, what is that? Cameron Indoor Stadium seats, what, 10,000? And they've won what? This is their 24th Final Four? You know what I mean? And nobody, there's only what, Syracuse and maybe a couple of other teams that consistently average
Tennessee
more than 50,
has a massive stadium, but most don't anymore. So,
well, yeah, Travis, they have a mass stadium, but Tennessee is the only thing there in Knoxville to do. And they own that whole area. Hell, they own the whole state, basically, and that whole area of the country.
It's
and
the Courage 5K, the Courage 5K, April 26th. You can go to the Courage Through Cancer website and sign up.
Yeah, CTCMemphis.org. You can sign up. We're also looking for sponsorships, starting at $250 for a friend's sponsorship, all the way up to $2,500 for a platinum sponsorship. That gets you 10 race entries, race T-shirts, your name and logo on the bib, also registration site mention, and on the CTC website. So, you know, it's a great deal. Sign up. Come run. I know you're a runner, Jeff.
Yeah, I've kind of given up. But I appreciate it. Thank you, Jarvis. Good to talk
to you.
Thank you
so much for letting me talk about it. I appreciate it.
It's good to be on. People who are going through that fight. I have a brother who has prostate cancer right now, stage 4 prostate cancer right now. I mean, it's remarkable. I talked to him yesterday. Remarkably upbeat about it. But, you know, it's not easy. All right, Jeffrey, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. Then we got Sam Hardiman after that. It is a busy day. We also have a lot of other things in sports to talk about, including the possibility that Chris Beard may go to Texas
A&M. Texas A&M,
Buzz Williams, of course, has gone from Texas A&M. It's about right for Buzz, right? Five or 6 years, that's what he does, right?
Yeah.
And so he leaves for Maryland.
You don't really know if he got a better job or not. Like that's kind of right, going right on brand.
Yeah, he just takes another job. Mm-hmm. Just time to stay one step ahead of the posse.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously good coach, good hire for Maryland. Did Maryland upgrade?
I mean, it kind of depends what you think of Kevin Willard. Like, I know John's not as high on him, but I kind of look at, like, well, Seton Hall sucked before he got there. Right. Seton Hall sucked after. This is Maryland's first Sweet 16 in 10 years. Like, I don't know if they upgraded, but, like, I know this, the bottom won't fall out under Buzz.
So... Oh, well, let's do it now. So obviously, Chris Beard has been massive for Ole Miss. No one doubted that he was a great coach when they hired him. The question was the baggage, and he certainly, in these 2 years, delivered on his end of things. Do you think he'll go?
I'm very coin flippy. If you made me say I have to declare right now, I'd say yes. But I don't. I would also point out at this time last year, this was when the Arkansas stuff, it was Final Four week.
Right.
And he didn't leave then.
You do wonder, though, if I was just feeling obligated, like if I felt like, God, these people gave me a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know, Leaving after 2 years is different than leaving after one. Leaving after delivering a Sweet 16.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, you can't. And so I think, again, that doesn't mean they would. The other thing, we talked about this off the air, is that had this happened earlier, had Kevin Willard not dithered, honestly, right? That's really the genesis of it. Will Wade could have gone to NC State, in which case this never would have happened.
Yep.
And or Will Wade could be the guy in line at Ole Miss.
Or Texas A&M. I wonder if Will wishes he would have waited a couple of weeks.
To get the Texas A&M gig?
Or just to get, I think he could have gotten an SEC gig and more stability. Now, maybe Will just, Will's from the Carolinas, so maybe he just wanted to get back over there. Like, I don't know.
All right. If you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. And he'll do, like, he will sell a house the traditional way, and he'll market your house like you've never seen before. But he also does, if you want the simpler, easier way, like Kyle and Amanda, two recent clients, they were selling their house, and they're like, do we really have to put this money into fixing it up and then have a, you know, all these showings? They got kids, clean it up every time there's another showing. How about we, you know, try something different? And Josh Hysaw goes over, looks at the house, says, this is the full market value of the house, and I'll give it to you cash. And you can have 4 months to move. And they're like looking at that, and then they're looking at the uncertainty of the alternative, and they're saying, you know what? We're going to do that. And they're absolutely thrilled that they worked with Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Again, the phone number is 901-461-8147